Do it with a smile. Amen. That's what my wife says to me when she asks me to dry the dishes. Do it with a smile. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, today is Palm Sunday on the Easter calendar. This is the day that Christ rode into Jerusalem, fulfilling prophecy, and you're well familiar with that story. And then we go into the Passion Week and the betrayal and the crucifixion on Good Friday. But I want to continue, even though it is Palm Sunday, I want to continue on just the emphasis of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit can't come. to my understanding, when Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, and then approximately 30 years later, he's baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River, and there's a voice that comes from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And to my understanding, at that point, he is the total earthen vessel of the Holy Spirit. And before the Holy Spirit could be ministered out to you and I as believers, he had to be crucified, buried, and rise from the dead. The evening of the resurrection, they're in the upper room and the doors are locked. And Christ, in the glorified body, enters without need of doors or windows. And he breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Even as the Father has sent me, so I send you." And that takes me all the way back to Genesis. There's a lot that's available on internet these days of more and more people are coming to the place of saying, these things around us, creation, can't be the result of random chance. There's more and more evidence coming out. Things that were stated years ago, science is now saying that this doesn't hold water. Just our DNA, the information code that's there. There are certain aspects of our physical being that had to come together all at once at the same time, or we wouldn't have survived. You know? So more and more people, and a lot of this is being led by Dr. James Tour, who's a synthetic chemist, and they build molecules. They build little motorized trucks that you can put like 4,000 on the head of a pin. They function, and he talks about what's required to build that, and what's there's no evidence in the scientific community of life coming from non-life. So, you know, and when you look at Genesis and the creation account, it says that God spoke things into existence. Except for one exception. He took the dust of the earth and he formed it and he breathed into it. And it became a living soul, became man. And that night in the upper room, Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive a fresh breath of God into your being, and you're born again. This was the confusing point to one of the great scholars of the day. The Pharisee Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and says, you know, how does this work? He says, except you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom. And he says, well, what am I supposed to do? Enter into my mother's womb for a second time to be born again? And he says, how is it that you, being a leader and a teacher of the Jews, don't understand this? No. The significance of the Holy Spirit, Jesus breathed it out. There are the common Greek word that is used is the word paraclete. We're going to look at that in just a second. That Greek word appears only five times in the New Testament. We're going to read those right now. The texts are John 14, 16 and 26, 15, 26 and 20 to 27, 16, 7 to 8, and then again, John writing in the first letter that he writes, not the gospel account, but 1 John. 1 John 14, 16, he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. And some of the translations translate the word there as comforter. For those that are using a Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, you can look it up. For those that have downloaded the Blue Letter Bible app onto your phone, it's a free app. You can look and you can verify. The word there is paraclete that's been translated into the English as helper. And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. That's the emphasis in that verse. He's with you forever. Okay? He's not going to abandon you. Verse 26, but the helper, and again, in the Greek, it's that word paraclete. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. But he can't bring to your remembrance what you haven't first put in. Okay? So that's the key thought there. He will teach you and bring back to your remembrance. And then in the 15th chapter, verses 26 to 27, but when the helper comes, paraclete, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, whom proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me, and you shall bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And then chapter 16, verses 7 to 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And by context, that convincing begins with me as a believer. There are things that I need to be convicted of and be set free from. And then over to 1 John. And to put it in context, I want to read all of the first chapter of 1 John. It's short. Don't get in a panic. It's only 10 verses. and then pick up, we'll probably look at 1 and 2 of chapter 2. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, that means made known to your senses. And we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Heavenly Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that your joy may be complete. Give me joy in my heart. You were singing that just a few minutes ago. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him While we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Verse 7 is important. It's not part of the devotional this morning, but it's worthy of paying attention to. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, you would think he would say, if you will walk in the light as he is in the light, you will have fellowship with him. But that's not what he says. He says, but if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If there's someone that I refuse to get along with and be reconciled with in fellowship, who's not walking in the light? If I will walk in the light, I can have fellowship with every part of the body of Christ. God doesn't break fellowship with you, and nor should I. Doesn't mean we approve of everything, amen? How many here, you know, with children love their kids? How many aren't sure? My three kids responded one time to a Facebook message I sent. They went, ha, ha. John went, very funny, Dad. I forwarded a Facebook message. It said, who's your favorite kid? And I said, Landon. And then I responded. I didn't realize when I was asked the question, I was supposed to answer one of my own. And they all responded, ha, ha, except for Johnny. Very funny, Dad. We don't always approve of the things our children are doing. Train up a child in the ways of the Lord, and when they're old, they won't depart. We have a responsibility. You know? I find sometimes parents get into a problem when they try to be friends to their children rather than coaches to their children. We're to love them, but we are expected by God to train them up. Amen? But not an easy task sometimes, is it? If we say we have no sin, now this is very important. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. The worst thing that happens in a congregation is when the people, the saints of God, gather and they start to look at those in leadership as being faultless, and we're not. If we say we sin not, we lie and the truth's not in us. I'm on the same road as you are. We're on the way. And we make errors. We make blunders. And sometimes we're willfully disobedient. And we need to put that straight. And what keeps sanity in the body of Christ is when our eyes are on Jesus and not on humans. Amen? Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2:2, he says, I seek to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. You do not need to hear me. You need to hear the Word of God. And that's why, thanks to volunteers in the church, Eleanor and Jordan, I get the things to them. At first, Shelley was a little concerned that I had changed the message for today, because next week's going to be a crunch. I still have to work 24 hours at the store. I get Friday off, and that's Good Friday. But I needed to get a jump. And Sam, you provided that for me. You shared on the Mexico trip. And that freed up a Sunday. So I got a week ahead, because I got to get Good Friday and Easter Sunday ready. So I sent Good Friday out yesterday. And what they do is they get it in the bulletin and they get it on the PowerPoint. Because you need to be able to look at the portions of Scripture I'm referring to. You need to be able to go back. And Larry has said to me on more than one occasion, I like that. I use that as my devotional through the week. I go through all those portions. Those that were in Berea were more noble than those that were in Thessalonica because they went home after hearing Paul and they went to the scripture and proved that such things that he said were so. They didn't go to disprove. They went to prove. You need to verify. And that's why we go to that extra labor, not just myself, but especially the volunteers, because they're doing it as a service. So you're able to verify. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Sam, can you stand for just a moment? I like his shirt. Not what we were. Thank God, I'm not what I used to be. But I am not yet what I'm going to be. We're on the road. Thank you. I like that shirt. Those 10 verses lead us up to the next verse, chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I'll give you one guess as to what advocate in the Greek is. Paraclete. These five portions of Scripture are the five occurrences of the Greek word paraclete. Can we go to the introduction, please? Okay. This Sunday's devotional focuses on the ministry of the Holy Spirit to every believer in five general areas of emotional and mental well-being in our life. We will be considering five portions of the Holy Scripture, which we've just read, which are all connected by the Greek word parakletos. They are John 14, 16, 26, 15, 26, 16, 7, and 1 John 21, 1. So that's all in your bulletin. These five contain the only occurrences of the word parakletos in the New Testament. Right? That's what connects those five together. Parakletos is derived from para, meaning alongside. Compare it with our word parallel. Okay, the Holy Spirit is called along beside you, and he will never leave you. Okay, Cletus means to be called or invited. How many of you are calling and inviting to your wedding? You haven't settled on that yet?
90-some people.
Okay. I'm one of them. I get to perform the wedding. Yeah. What an honor. Yeah. September, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Just remember, brother, when God looked at man, he looked at all of creation. He says, it is good. He looked at man, it's not good. There's no fit helpmate for him. All of creation is brought before him. There's, you know, the giraffe was too tall, the monkey was too silly, the rhino was too big, you know. So he made the woman the helpmeet. The word there in the Hebrew is the word ezer, and it means one called along beside with military power and might. A good wife is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And called along beside. You understand there's a parallel there? You know? It's interesting. 1 Corinthians 1:24, it says, to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. We're all called. And Jesus says, I'm going to send you another helper, the Holy Spirit to be with you forever. Next. That's not Star Wars, okay?
No, it's not.
No. The Holy Spirit is called alongside every believer as a comforter, helper, encourager, enabler, and really so much more. Next. When I looked at these five and I started to think on them, I began to realize that there's five ministries of the Holy Spirit that are directed to every believer that address something that every believer experiences, in my opinion. First is the thing of unwantedness. John 14, 16 says, "And I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Paracletus, to be with you forever." You may be alone in a natural sense, but in a supernatural sense, the Holy Spirit's with you. We just lost it. There we go. Okay?
I forgot to bring something up.
Oh, you forgot to bring it up. You mean I got to go to the bulletin? Okay. In the Greek, there are two different words that are, this is in your bulletin, that are translated another. Elos expresses a numerical difference and denotes another of the same sort. The Holy Spirit is not different from Christ. It's a different. He's the same kind. This is the triune God coming into our lives. Okay? Heteros, you know, and we're familiar with that word, right? Heterosexual. Okay? Expresses a quantitative difference and denotes another of a different sort. How many have noticed that there's a difference between men and women? Okay? Okay? Designed by God. In John 14, 16, Christ promised to send another comforter, another one like himself, not heteros, not different than him. Very God, you're Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 27, I think it is. And you have the Holy Spirit in you and with you. And he'll come upon you according to Acts. Go to John 15, 18 to 25. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. I'm part of a larger group, and the instructor's presenting his view of end times, which is different than mine. And he uses this as a base to say Christians will go through the Great Tribulation, which is in scriptures is called the time of Jacob's trouble. I don't have a lot of problem with that person's eschatology, which is the study of end things, but I do have issue with his ecclesiology, his study of the church. What is appointed to the church? And there isn't a systematic theology study out there that has Israelology, which tells us what's supposed to happen to Israel. The time of the Great Tribulation is the time of Jacob's trouble against Israel. No. But he uses this. He says, it persecuted me, it will persecute you. There's a difference between persecution and the Great Tribulation. Hello? Okay? If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have not been guilty of their sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. And when I think of that verse, I don't know if Lynn remembers this. We were going through this community, coming back from Zion National Park with my folks. And this guy passes me in this middle lane. So I followed him. And I get pulled over by the police. And he says, this is a turning lane. You're not permitted to pass in this lane. This is to allow people to pull in this lane so they can cross the street into a parking facility or whatever. He says, I see you're from Canada. Is that not a rule in Canada? I said, it is. But the guy ahead of me had local plates, and I thought maybe the rules are different here. He passed me, so I followed him. He says, okay, I'm going to let you off the hook. Him I know, and I'm going to go give him a ticket. You know? And I won't tell you what my dad called me. You know? And every time I read this, I remember that event. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin, but now they have no excuse for their sin. I never did that again down there. Because now I knew. Yeah. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. Okay? When people are opposed to Christ, they're opposed to God. Okay? But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. Next, Jordan. I want to illustrate this. When Lynn and I got engaged, and I... When did you two get engaged?
January 1st of this year.
Okay. And when did you meet?
That would have been 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. I met Lynn, and 3 weeks later, we were engaged. Yeah. Little does she know, she said. Yeah. So we're planning the wedding, and I asked my best friend. I had met him, and we were living together. We were in Penticton. He was employed by the city of Penticton, and we got to be friends. He was a little older than I was. And so I asked him if he would be best man at my wedding. His response to me, I will never set foot in a church. And that was very painful, and it was a parting of ways. Wasn't the great tribulation, but it hurt. Are you tracking with me? When you become a Christian, you may find, very well find, that certain people will distance themselves from you. I have yet to meet a Christian who was determined to walk on the way that didn't have people that separated themselves from them. You know? And that's a sense of feeling unwanted. There's people that will, when you make a stand for Christ, there's people that will break relationship with you. In some cases, even family. You know, and Jesus states that. There will be times as believers that we are alone and yet not lonely. The Holy Spirit will be with you forever. That doesn't mean we don't need love with skin on it. We need that's why we're called into fellowship, amen? We need one another, you know. And as we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. You know. Darcy's not here because she's with the kids, and Tim's having a bonding time with his son going to a hockey game. And But he said last week when I used this illustration, you know, I know very few couples that have never had a disagreement in their marriage. Very few. I said, how many always agree with their wife? And Tim said, I do. I said, well, that's fear. Yeah. But we don't end it. You make a determination to work through it. Amen? And the same should be happening in the body and life of a fellowship. Where there are disagreements, and Larry's not here, but you remember Wednesday night we were discussing, and I said, there's a number of things that when it comes to understanding the scripture, I use a triage method. And they're going, what are you talking about? Anybody that's involved in medicine, when there's an accident, you do a triage. Is this possible loss of life? Could this lead to loss of life? Does this need some quick attention, but doesn't require immediate attention? And I look at scripture. There are some things that I will not move on. The atonement through the cross. The reality of the resurrection. But I have pastored in various places. I pastored in an evangelical Mennonite church, and they were wondering if I would have a problem with baptism because their mode of baptism was pouring. You know, some do baptism by sprinkling. And I've always done baptism by immersion, bringing them up. Because the picture there is as you baptize them by immersion, you're laying them under the water as in a burial. And if you leave them there too long, that's what will happen. And then you bring them up. And it's like being raised into newness of life, according to Romans chapter 6. You know? And they said, would you have a problem doing pouring? I said, no, because the amount of water doesn't do anything. Baptism is an outward confession of an inward possession. And I said, but here's one point of difference that you may not agree with, and that is I baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many fellowships baptize in the name singular of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But when you go through the book of Acts, every time there's a baptism, how did they do it? In the name of Jesus. And they said, well, if you don't have a problem with pouring, we don't have a problem with that, because I walked them through the book of Acts, and they said, okay, you know, okay, I can accept that. You know, only once does it say baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, name singular. And there's no other name given among men whereby men must be saved, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have no problem. I wasn't prepared to fight over it. Are you with me? You know, there's some things you don't compromise on. So we're doing by immersion. And I have one young lady that wanted to get baptized, and she was not fat. She was just a big girl. And she said, I'm really uncomfortable with the idea of being dunked into the water and brought up. Would you pour me? So I said, no, not a chance. No. Hello? Okay, using the triage method. Does this make or break my faith? No. We can adjust. And it does. I'm getting ahead of myself because now I'm thinking of Good Friday message. The thief on the cross, how was he baptized? He wasn't. Yeah. The amount of water doesn't make a difference. Are you tracking with what I'm trying to say this morning? There are some things we need to take a stand on. We will not compromise on. If you say the cross isn't essential, the resurrection isn't essential, we're not in the same camp. But certain things, I remember one person put it this way. You have to let the river flow where it flows, but there are some things that are immovable. No? That's, the Holy Spirit's with us forever, and there are people, when you make a stand for Christ, there will be some people that say, howdios, we're done. Christians in Canada are now in a minority. Where I work, I'm in a minority. So what's my task? Curse them and tell them they're going to go to hell. No. My task is to be a light and to show the love of Christ and to show that forgiveness is available. Hello? Okay? So if you're feeling unwanted because you've made a renewed commitment to walk with Christ, you're not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. Amen? Unlearnedness is the... did I skip something? Let's consider how to stir one another up to the love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some is, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day dawning. There's more and more opposition to Christians all the time. We need one another. We need to be encouraged and built up. Amen? Okay, unlearnedness. Oh, hey, what happened here?
That's the order
Okay. You and I talked about this not long ago, after an elder and deacon meeting. Remember I said to you, have you heard the story of the log and the fire? When you keep the logs in the fire, they all burn, right? What happens if you take one out and set it on the hearth? It eventually goes out. The need for fellowship is we keep one another hot for the Lord. The fire that you have today might be falling on me when I'm feeling cold and alone. And your sparks get me going. Amen. Hello? Does that make sense? When we isolate ourselves from fellowship, we get into a problem. Develop the discipline of being quiet to hear the Holy Spirit. Remember Elijah, he took on the 450 prophets of Baal and he whooped them. And then Jezebel threatened to kill him. Wise man, he ran. And he's seeking God and he's feeling alone. And he asked God, let me hear you. And there was a storm and there was an earthquake. God wasn't in those things. But he heard the still, small voice. And we have to, in my life, it's essential for me that I shut certain things down that I can hear God. If there's too much, Bob, I'm at that age now that when I'm in a group of people and there's a bunch of people talking and you're trying to talk to me, I have to cup and listen. Because I can't hear you. Because there's too much external noise. And I suggest to you that we're all like that when it comes to the Holy Spirit. We live in a day and age that our senses are being bombarded. And we really need to develop a discipline, in my opinion, of being still and hearing God. God wakes you up at 2 and 3 in the morning to hear him. It's not my favorite time, but he's done that to me too. Okay, unlearnedness. John 14:26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Do you ever feel, that you're in a group of people and they're asking you a question, and you think, I don't know how to answer this. I don't know enough. Do you ever feel unlearned and unskilled? And that's a continual challenge for me. I get some questions asked and sometimes I have to say, I can't answer that right now, but give me a couple of days and I'll get back to you. Ephesians 4:11-12 says, and he gave apostles, He gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds or pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit, now, why am I putting that there? Because these are gifts. This fivefold ministry is the gift of Christ to the church. Okay, you go to Romans 12, and it says God gave gifts to men. Okay, and there's a number of what I identify as motivational gifts, things that drive you. Then there's the gifts of Christ here in Ephesians chapter 4. And then you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, I don't want you to be, and I don't like the King James word there. The King James word says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I like the newer translations. I don't want you to be uninformed regarding the spiritual gifts, the pneumata that are given by the Holy Spirit. And there's nine gifts of the Spirit that are given there. So each of the three persons of the Godhead are involved in giving gifts. The creative gift of motivation that's given to you. The gift that Christ gives to his bride, the church. You know? And listen, you gotta forgive pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets. Because, you know, by calling, we're given a role. Okay? But by calling, I'm a pastor. But by birth, I'm a sheep. Hello? And trying to balance those two. I'm always to be in a process of learning. I've never arrived. So there's going to be shortcomings. That's why I give you the references. So Christ gives to the church a fivefold ministry. But you have the responsibility of verifying what's being said. Okay, next. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. He will lead you and guide you. The words that I would say, they're not infallible, but the Word of God is. And you need to test and prove. 2 Timothy 2:15. I still know this by the old King James. Study to show yourself approved of God, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If he says rightly, then there's the possibility of wrongly, you know. again, 2 Timothy 2:14 to 19. In a great house there are many vessels, you know. But it begins with the foundation of God stands sure, having the seal. The Lord knows those that are his. Do you know if, you know, Pastor John, do you know if everybody in your congregation is saved? I don't know. He knows. I'm not supposed to judge the root. I am to judge the fruit. You know, so if you're doing something out of whack, and I tell you, I say, hey, you know, adjust this. And I give them the reasons. Then you start making adjustments. And then you discover the Holy Spirit comes in and empowers it. Then you feel like chains are broken. And I go, that's what I'm talking about. You know? Okay? So the foundation of God stands sure, having the seal. The Lord knows that are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ depart from iniquity. And it goes on to say, in a great house there are many vessels, some for honor and some for dishonor. You know? I have a toothbrush on my counter. I use it. It belongs there. But just a little bit to the left is the toilet brush. It has a use. It needs to be in the house. But I don't use it on my teeth. Hello? You need to discern. You know, in a great house, there's many vessels. And it says, listen, you decide. God doesn't decide. You decide whether you're going to be a vessel of honor or dishonor. You choose. And it's all connected to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Timothy 4:1, Matthew 24:24, 2 Timothy 4:3 to 4, and 2 Thessalonians. You can look at those. We're challenged to be people that are in the Word of God. And if you don't have a Bible and you need a Bible, talk to me. I'll bring you one next week. Okay, next one. On fitness. I don't know if you ever feel like you're unfit. I went through a period back in December where I sprained my back and things were tough. John 15:26, but when the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Do you ever feel unfit to share the gospel with people? Okay. And me too. You know? John, in brackets there. Me. Keep it about Jesus, not about you. Point them to Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:1-2. And when I came to you, brothers, I didn't come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except for Jesus Christ and him crucified. When people start to see Jesus, they don't see people. They don't see my weaknesses or my frailties. When they look at Christ, there's a holy anointing that begins to grip them. You understand, the gospel is not about your fitness. The gospel is about his. He is able. I like Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. When we point people to Jesus, we give room for the Holy Spirit to speak in their lives, to touch their lives, to put their finger, his finger on things. When I try to do it, it becomes offensive. And I need to remember, it's not about me, it's about Jesus. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, understand why the word therefore is therefore. Okay? We're familiar with Hebrews chapter 11, right? That's referred to as the great faith chapter. You know? So then faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It goes on, and I think it's verse 6. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then there's this whole list of people of faith and what they achieved. So you got this whole catalog. And then 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, it's referring back to chapter 11, let us also lay aside every weight. And that should be not win, sin. I don't cut and paste. And I didn't get that underlined because win's a word. It should be an S, not a W. And sin, which clings so closely, and let us, that should be run, not fun. Can you tell I was in a hurry? With endurance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Look to Jesus. This is a problem when you try to edit your own stuff, because in your mind you know what you were meaning to say and you read it that way, you know. So change win to sin and fun to run. Unless you're a jogger, then it is fun to run. Okay. Listen, it's not your fitness that's at stake here. It's Christ. Lynn shares the story of this couple that brought their child to her dad and says, you believe that Jesus can do miracles? He says, yeah, I do. He says, how old was the girl? 6? And she says, our daughter has never walked. You say your God can heal. Pray for our daughter. You want to share that? No, I'll mess it up from here. I wasn't there. I wasn't a witness. Reputation, name.
Reputation that's at stake here. He said, not mine. You know this need and you know their request. He said, you know, you do what you need to do. So he said, did the father put the little girl down on the ground? He put down and she walked.
See, it's not about you. It's about him. His fitness. All I need to do is be willing, and the Holy Spirit will work. Okay? That's the role of the Holy Spirit there. Unequalness. You know, the three of you, just such a brilliant job this morning in the praise. And how I envy that gift. Someday in glory, I'm going to sing on key. Until then, I cling to the verse that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yeah. But the Bible says when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we are unwise. We become as fools. And when we start comparing ourselves with one another, we really run into problems. A friend of mine had accepted a very significant congregation, quite sizable in number, and a number of individuals who he had regarded as friends kind of didn't talk to him anymore because envy. And I had found a portion that says that God has given to everyone a sphere of influence. You know? And I said, my sphere is Wolsey. This is where God's called me and put me for a season of time. How long, I don't know. You know? I said, God's called you to where you are. And if I'm envious of that, the problem is not you accepting that position. The problem is me being jealous of you. Okay? And when I'm saying this in love to you. Don't compare where you are in your walk and where you are in gifts and talents and abilities right now with other people around you. You are unique and special to God. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him. You have the Holy Spirit with you. The Holy Spirit is going to spark and initiate and grow and develop you as he wills. And I'm in a teaching elder role. I'm to encourage and bless you. We have a couple of minutes yet. If you have your Bible with you this morning, or if you've got your phone and you've got it on your phone, go there. But go to Psalm 139. This is true of not just believers. This is true of every individual. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. Verse 2. You know when I sit down and you know when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. How many times did you sit down and stand up yesterday? The Lord knows. I don't mean that facetious. I mean, he knows. You know? I'm making things easier for him. He says he has the hairs of your head numbered. I'm making it easier. You know? I told you about the time I argued with God, and I got down in the ditch, and I was yelling at him. And I said, I might as well say this to you, because you know my thoughts while they're afar off, so you might as well hear it come out of my mouth. You know? And I got back in the car and continued on my journey home. And it wasn't an audible voice, but it may as well have been. It was that clear in my head, saying, do you feel better now? And I remember turning and looking at the passenger seat of the car and saying, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. You know, can I speak now? Sure, I've said all I want to say. Were you listening? And within 3 weeks, life turned around. God knows where you're at. He knows what you're thinking. God's the only one you can be irritated with and tell him and him not get upset about it. Okay? He's the safest counselor around. He'll embrace you. Hold me close. We sang that. Draw me by your side. Okay? You search my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I can't attain it. where can I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. That was a conversation about a year ago you guys were having about darkness. Remember that one? Yeah, I was trying to put it out of my mind. Thanks for bringing it back. And the night is bright as day, for darkness is as light to you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. That's what God says about us. And the Holy Spirit wants to reassure us of that. Don't compare yourself with others around you. Why? God, I can't tell you how many times I dreamed about having a ministry like Billy Graham or Jack Hayford or Lloyd John Ogilvy. But I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and God put me here, initially in fellowship, then eventually a call to teaching elder. You are unique before Christ. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is with you. This Holy Spirit wants to develop and release you. And one of the lines in one of the songs you had to sing was, serve you. Bang on stuff. We don't have time to read 1 Corinthians 14 to 26, chapter 12. But it talks about the spiritual gifts, and it says we're jointly fitted together as one body. And because you don't perceive yourself as the eye, are you any less a part of the body? Or you're not a hand, are you any less part of the body? Listen. And it goes on to say, the less comely members, I'm not very significant. He says, listen, the less comely members are worthy of more honor. And if you're not getting honored, then I'm blowing it in my relationship to you. Hello? Right? And if you're not getting somebody honored, you're... You fill in the blank. All right. Last one, unworthiness. You know, if you knew my life, you wouldn't listen to me. And that's okay. If I knew the secrets of your life, I wouldn't talk to you either. Hello? You know, we got to be careful. You know? We can say, oh, God, I'm not worthy of this. Are you bought by the blood of the Lamb? You're worthy. Okay? 1 John 2, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, a paracletus, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we read the first chapter. We're going to take a moment I've played this before for you. Have you got it? And while this is playing, you can come and get ready to do the closing number.